The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is June 22nd, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong will be on here Friday with us, and he's on monthly. Also, unleash your strength and relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. You can contact Steven at primalcreations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. And as everybody knows, Steven is a monthly regular too. Also, on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, free ebook, The Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, 10 paragraphs, think, commit, and take action. That is usually the response I'll give anything and everything. Also, too, our two biggest products to date on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success, and The Winner's Circle. Check them out. They are life changers, and if you really want to work hard and you'd like help with anything, you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.com. Well, today we have another new guest, and you know my feelings on new people coming in here. I love having new names, new voices on the show, and we're going to talk to Mark DeGrasse today. This gentleman is an entrepreneur. He specializes in growing small businesses online. He's a former chief of fitness officer of Onnit Labs. He's the founder and editor of My Mind Methods magazine, and he also specializes. If you go out to his site, markdegrasse.com, you'll see these 20-minute workouts, which they use kettlebells, sandbags, and body weight training. A lot of like what we do here. It obviously works because if you want to put the time in and use some basic stuff, you can get pretty damn good. And we're going to talk about, obviously, Mark is a first-timer here, and we're going to get to meet Mark, get to know him, introduce him to our family here, and with the idea that he'll come back and we'll even specialize in some more things. But as you know, we're going to be all over the board, and I love doing things like this because it makes for very interesting radio here. Mark, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Hey, glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Give anything I missed out on you bio-wise. You know, give that out to the audience, and we'll get started.
Sure. The magazine, My Mind Methods, is really my claim to fame, I guess you could say. And basically, it was right between all these different trainers that knew a lot more than, you know, I do or did at the time. And, yep. You know, people like you where you have all this information and stuff to give. And what I realized was, if you could just get the word out or, yep. You know, then you could spend more time doing what you do, which is generating, you know, good programs that help people advance with their, you know, mindset or their, you know, whatever physical objective they have. And I could just do the part of, behind the scenes, organizing the information, making it look good, and mm-hmm. There you go. So it's always been, you know, for me, a big partnership between the people who know a lot and somebody like me that just knows how to organize information and get it out there.
Well, and that's deeply important because, you know, I'll tell the audience, you and I have spoken about a few things that I'd like to do with the company here, and we've got such a massive amount of content between the show, the blog, everything out there. And in my mind, neither have ever been properly marketed, in my opinion. I mean, I have a marketing degree / IT anyways, but I know enough about what I like to do and and we've gone over a few things and we'll talk about it here. But let me ask you this. Basically, I mean, obviously you're an athlete. Obviously, you're an entrepreneur who's been successful for sure. What do you think early on? What influence was it? Whether it was through weightlifting, mother, father, someone in the neighborhood. What really initially got you into the fitness industry, and you know, obviously propelled you to. Which I want to hit upon. I'm not going to say it right now. Maybe after you answer this question. But what got you to where you are today, you feel?
It's kind of funny because I, you know, growing up, I was always pretty just naturally athletic. I never had any situations with being overweight or unhealthy or disabled in any way. And I played sports in high school and a little bit in college, mainly swimming and water polo. And the thing that got me, you know, kind of into fitness was actually just because I just worked a lot, you know, during college and after college, where it was, you know, 90-100 hour weeks. And what I found was that by the time I was in my mid 20s, I had lost all the kind of physical advantages I've built playing sports for so long. But I still didn't have the time necessary to get back into that kind of shape. So for like water polo, when I played in college, we were working out, you know, for 6 hours a day. And, you know, when you get older and you get a job and you get a family and everything else going on, you don't have 6 hours a day to train. So I really, you know, got out of shape and I looked at, you know, I was one of those looking at the beach pictures from a trip to Hawaii. And I was like, oh, man, sure. I have fallen.
Yeah,
No more six pack. So I at that time, one of my coworkers at the technology startup I was working at was got kettlebell certified through RKC, Marcus Martinez.
Yep.
And he, you know, basically taught me kettlebells, and I got back into shape working out 15 minutes a day for a month and, you know, changing my diet. But, you know, that's all that was necessary. It was just that little tiny bit of training properly got me back. So that's where I kind of got interested. So after, you know, we worked at this technology startup, we decided to start his company, Embody Strength. And really at the time, I still wasn't that interested in fitness. I just wanted to get into e-commerce and online marketing. And so we decided that he would do the fitness instruction and I would do the, you know, equipment sales online. So yeah. It was actually a good partnership. I shot the videos, I did the graphics, I did all that kind of stuff. And he just got to, you know, be in front of the camera and do the, you know, fitness information side. So that's kind of where it started. From there, we grew, you know, the gym and we grew the, you know, started the magazine, My Men Methods. And, you know, everything just kind of evolved from there. Eventually, we split up the partnership. I took the magazine and he kept the e-commerce store and the gym at the time. And, you know, we kind of went our separate ways. And at that time, then I started actually doing the fitness. So I came out with a program called Fitness is Function, which was a, you know, basically the methods I like. So it was sandbags, kettlebells, and body weight training. Came out with, I think, 4 DVDs myself, and then a few other DVDs with people like John Wolfe, Anthony Eisenhower, Donna Castrino. So it was all about, you know, creating this information for online distribution, and then just creating programs that were complete. Because what I found a lot of times, what you find online is you have videos with some demos, you have a few workouts, you have just random content, it's not very organized. So I came up with a way to fit, you know, 18 workouts on a single DVD using a kind of playlist function, and because I think that's what's missing from a lot of programs that you see is, you know, they're not complete. It's all just kind of
right,
random.
Right, all over. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Random and ongoing. And people like you understand that the only way you're going to get, you know, progressive results is by having a program, you know.
Absolutely.
You can't really do stuff.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Donna Castorino, she's been on the show. She's awesome, man. Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, awesome. I'll tell you what. What I found, now, you and I were talking the other day about business, and what I found especially, and I know you'll be able to comment on this because we talked about this briefly, what I have found in my not quite 3 years with different people that, you know, marketers and promisers and every other thing is good, bad, or indifferent as you work with people, they always will come out of the gate swinging. But it seems pretty quickly that they fall on their chin. And I mean, I'm talking from my own experiences. And when you're when you have a program like this, which is getting bigger and bigger, and it's all been on my own, you know, there's so many people that told me, don't waste your time doing a podcast, the whole thing. Well, at least having the program background allowed me to build this whole thing by myself, okay? And I'm very proud of that. And the same way with Fiorella Barbell Company, too, that other site. I mean, I didn't take one. I took two on. What is it you see especially out with in the fitness industry where you'll see a company that's got maximum potential, but obviously, as you say, they need to. You'll need to come in, organize it, you know, especially if they're really content-laden, et cetera, et cetera. But what's the common complaint from people like myself and others where they're saying, look, I've got everything here. I'm beating my head against the wall. I'm barely making a living. What is it you hear on a consistent basis, Mark?
That's pretty much it. You know, the people who have worked so hard to create, you know, a really good product or service, and then they're confused about why nobody's buying it or why they're not making money. And that's where the marketing side comes in, you know, because there's always, you know, when you get into online marketing and that kind of stuff, you think there's some magic bullet that, you know, the big guys know about that you don't know about. And so you keep on trying different things and trying different things and things don't work. And so you try a different thing. And so it's really just this confusion about what works and an inconsistency with trying any one thing for very long. So, you know, even though you came up with a great thing and you have a good concept and you know people like it because when you talk to them in person, they like it. You know, why isn't it succeeding online? It's mainly because you're lacking a system. So just like when you're talking about your, you know, you're not going to get results with a exercise program unless you have, you know, set program that progresses. It's the same thing with your online marketing. If you're just kind of throwing mud at the wall, it's not going to, you know, it's like going into the gym and randomly doing exercises. You know, you have to have a system to progress.
Well,
and
one of the things
has to be coordinated. Otherwise,
failure. Well, you know, and this is interesting because I know you've probably, before you even got into this, you get how many emails a day, everybody's got their own plan and idea, you know, blah, 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 and it's always going to be a very expensive venture usually you get into. And let's face it, when you are trying to survive everything, cost is an issue. And, you know, I've had people say to me, and this is like the old, this is the old stuff they'll use on you on a lot of things. Well, don't you care about your business or don't you want to succeed? Well, if I'm contacting you or I'm still here almost 3 years later and living on a shoestring, I guess I'm definitely committed to it. I don't have to even think about that. And this is where I've talked to other people. This is where the big land of confusion is here is, okay, I get XYZ from big names out there, and, you know, it's the same with podcasting. I've got like two or three today with different names. I'm not going to name them that, you know, we can increase your business. We'll tell you how to get your show out there more. I did talk to one big name one time. I pretty much had everything down here that he was talking about. So, you know, why am I paying you $300 an hour? All right. So, but I mean, the idea is you want to go into something, learn it, and you want to obviously achieve and become, you know, better at it. Why, I'm coming from the outside looking in here and with like a lot of people that are very interested either who are entrepreneurs or who want to be. How do you know, I mean, other than going through a number of people or, you know, getting a recommendation, how do I find a guy like Mark DeGrasse out there or anybody for that matter? What do you do? Because most people are throwing up their hands and not knowing what to do, or they fold up something really good. What advice would you give people out there on something like that?
You know, it's I always relate everything back to you know, training and working out, just because it's so closely related to how business progresses. But if you think about a program or a diet plan or anything like that, it's only going to work a certain amount for certain people. And the only way you're going to figure out which diet plan works for you is by doing a bunch of different diet plans and figuring out exactly what system exactly works for you and your body type and objectives and all that kind of stuff. And so your marketing online and just business in general is about figuring out your own system. So there's no
person, I mean, you could go through a million programs and try to follow them exactly, and they're never going to work exactly as advertised,
right,
because you have a unique, you know, business and a unique offering. And so nothing is going to work perfectly, you know, except for the thing that you come up with exactly. It's your system that's selling your product, and go from there. So I think the big misconception is, and you know, it's other people trying to market their programs that will convince you that, hey, this is the solution. You do this, you will succeed, blah, blah, blah. Here's testimonials, yeah, you know, whatever. They're trying to make money, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to realize that nothing's going to work, and nobody's going to care about your business more than you do. So it's necessary for you to come up with that system. And the only way you're going to do that is by learning and growing and figuring it out. So the difference between like what I do with my service and what other you know, brand or website developers do is I actually have a database of tutorials, and I wrote a book about how to figure out your own you know, marketing strategy and all these different components. Because at the end of the day, most small businesses can't afford to hire somebody that's going to make your business grow into a $1 million business, because that person isn't going to be for hire, because they'll go and grow their own, you know, $1 million business. You know, the only person who's going to make it happen for you is you at the end of the day. You know, so that's I think that's what you just have to realize, that it's not, there is no magic bullet, and the only way it's going to work is if you make it work. You know, and and it's tempting to go to somebody and they're like, it, you know, I'm going to solve this for you, you know, and you're like, oh great, you know, it costs a lot, but at the end I'm going to be a millionaire, so who cares? And that's the problem, because you'll end up just spending a bunch of money, and if you're not doing it, if you don't know how to do it and they did it for you, chances are it's not actually going to work. So even if, you know, say you want to hire somebody who's a professional at whatever aspect you think is going to work for your business, it still makes sense to learn it yourself, because you'll have a better ability to manage that person who's doing it for you, if that makes sense.
No, I agree. I agree, because that's pretty much what it's been here. I mean, you know, I don't have the software or the tools to do a lot of things people do. But, you know, I mean, everything here has just been built, especially through the show. I mean, that's where the word's gotten out everywhere. And obviously, when, like I told you the other day, this is going to be the go-to when I get done with it. And that's you know, that's the way it's going to be with me. But, you know, obviously you were in the industry, and you dealt with a lot of this stuff. And that it, would that be fair to say this is why you got into what you're doing now with your entrepreneur business with, you know, different people with small businesses online?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always been interested in small business since I was like 7. I used to come up with concepts, and then, you know, like, I'll wash your car, and I would pass out flyers, and I'd get phone calls to my parents' house, and somebody would be asking for a car wash, and my mom would be like, who is this? He's 7 years old. He's at a soccer game right now. And so, you know, I've always wanted to have a small business and grow it. So, and I've always been kind of adverse to large organizations, bureaucracies and all that kind of stuff. So it just works for me. So even for other small businesses who are bigger, still, you know, something I'm not, it's not an environment I like to be part of. You know, I like to consult, help other people grow, and then grow my own automating systems as much as possible, so I don't have to rely on anybody else for things to get done.
No, I think that's a real smart way, because, like in my case, you know, it's a one-man show here, you know, and as I talked to you the other day about, you know, the podcast show is basically a full-time job. I mean, with you know, like I told Mark, he knows, and everybody else knows, I've said it before, you know, just because we're recording a podcast show, that doesn't end here at all. I mean, you basically have to piece this thing all together. It's got to be imported, exported. The show notes have to be written, obviously, after it's promoted and it's updated and it's successful over. Blueberry does all my storage, because I have so much content, I can't run it anywhere else. There's a lot that goes into this, and to me, I love all the aspects of this company, but this is my favorite part of the whole thing.
Go ahead. That's what I've always found, is that entrepreneurs like you, you know, you do something well. You host a podcast, you get you know, you connect with people, you know, you get them on the show, it's an interesting show, like, and that's what you really should be worried about, you know,
exactly.
90% of the time. The rest of the time you should be, you know, doing the operational aspects, marketing aspects that get people find in the first place. But creating a good product is, you know, a huge part of the game, you know, because the flip side is that you have what frustrates entrepreneurs, where you see a crummy product and the people are killing it. And you're just like, what the hell? You know, it's a bad product. It's a bad person. Like, why are they making so much money? And what that person has done is figured out a system that works.
Yep.
And that's McDonald's. McDonald's doesn't make good food. They make lots of money, you know?
Yep. No, and hey, you know, I guess that's the way they want to do it. And they came up with the idea and they found the niche, et cetera, et cetera. The thing right now is, we're getting out there, but not to where I want to be. I mean, you know, like I told you the other day, we've done shows from the Netherlands. We did our first show from Ireland the other day. You know, the word is getting out by word of mouth, which is probably still one of the best ways to do it. But we need other tools to get us to where we want to go. And I know for a fact you can make a very good living on a podcast. I've told you before, next year we would like to go live with a call-in show. I mean, I have a full array of things I've got here to do. You know, I've told you, too, that, you know, I want to go over and finish my work in Iceland and lift the Husafell stone and walk 50 meters with 418 pounds and get that monkey off my back.
Nice.
You know, and I want to hit Spain and I want to hit Scotland next year for stones. So, you know, obviously for anybody that is an entrepreneur or wants to get into it, remember this. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that you might have to hold off for a little while because of the funding and whatever you're doing. And right now the business is paramount to work and earn a living and a good living where you can do these things, where you have the freedom to be able to do what you want to do. And I think that's my whole concept and what I love most about, you know, entrepreneurship is – yeah, you got to put in a lot of time. You got to work very hard. I don't have a problem with that at all. I have no trouble with perseverance or dedication. And it all comes out in the wash, because if you can afford yourself to be able to live a life that you're not scraping every dime you got to have and own, I consider that one of the best things in the world. You know, the money will flow, but the freedom to me is what I love the most. What do you think about that concept?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about is the freedom, because people think that, you know, having a job will provide you this with the security that will let you live your life, you know, how you want to on your off time or whatever. But nowadays that security is gone. Like, you can't even find a job or a career even where you're not going to have to switch it up later. So I think, you know, for people like us where we're more entrepreneurial, you know, mindset, it's not really a choice, because I don't think there's any security in having a job either, because you could be fired, company could fold, all that kind of stuff. But and what you talked about, like the struggle, you know, the struggle is part of the business. Like, you know, let's say that you came up with a business concept and somebody's like, great, I love that concept. Here's $5 million. Make it real. And so you don't have any experience with funding or anything. And so chances are you're going to live a really good life for about a year or two. And then the money's going to be gone and you're never going to get funding again, ever. So, you know, in terms of growing businesses, going through the struggle, this time frame of having a shoestring and buckle down and all that kind of stuff, it's part of the development process. You have to go through it, because the flip side of just having money available will lead to lackluster, you know, businesses where it's not going to work anyways. And now you just wasted a bunch of money and destroyed your reputation in the process. So, you know, for my business, you know, we weren't making money for, I want to say 3 or 4 years, you know. It took 7 years to grow the business to a point where I could sell it. And in the meantime, while it was eventually was making pretty good money, it was still a ton of work. And I was still, you know, how do I grow to the next level and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, since then, I've started other businesses that didn't work either. You know, the failure side of the whole, you know, small business aspect is always there. And it's again, a necessary component of growth. You know, it's something to get disheartened about. It didn't work. move on, you know?
Yeah.
And if you can't deal with that failure, then it's not going to work. Go get a job. There's jobs, you know. Some people, you know, who I know, small business owners or people trying to be small business owners, it's like, you know, it's not going to work. If it hasn't worked in, you know, 5 years plus, then there's a chance that it's not going to work. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, either change it completely or move on. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you learned in the process, you know, that's the important thing. But I think for most people, it's just getting past that initial discouragement of like, hey, why am I not, you know, buying my fifth Lamborghini at this point?
Yeah. Well, you know what the thing is, too? It's like after a while, I think people, you know, they have these grand expectations, and you should. You should have goals and be very hungry about it. But what I've found, especially in the last 6 months, is patience right now is paramount. Who doesn't want, like you said, the Lamborghini in the driveway or, you know, the waterfront mansion somewhere? Not necessarily. I'd be happy with a beautiful log cabin out in Montana somewhere. I mean, I'd much, you know, something to that degree. But, you know, and then you're wondering, scratching your head, like, okay, what's going on here? Why aren't I making the money? Why, you know, why am I sitting here struggling? But I'll tell you this, and I'll ask you this direct, but I'll just tell you from my end of this is I do feel the struggle does lead to success. I think that you have to be vigilant in everything you do. You're going to have days where you're going to really get your ass kicked and you're not going to like it. And you're going to be throwing your hands up in the air and saying, man, did I do the right thing? But I'll tell you this, Mark. Now, I was in IT and I worked on all the IBM mainframes, the big ones that'd be in banks and hospitals and such as that. I was earning a lot of money. By now, I'd be six figures if I, you know, didn't go bye-bye 3 years ago almost. But I'll tell you what. There's no going back to that life, man. I could no more last 10 minutes in a cubicle than I could, you know, would tell you, you know, to drop a bridge on top of me. It's not going to happen anymore. And people would be, well, you got to eat, you got to live. I was like, you don't understand. If I had to do something temporarily, I'd have to discipline myself to do it. But I don't have the resolve anymore or things of that nature where a lot of people that are going to be talking down to you who are over you, I'm just going to be like, you know what, screw this, I quit. See, that's the thing now. I've created this independence with me and the freedom we talked about where I'm not going to put up with that stuff anymore. You know, and you know, these people that go to work, they hate their jobs, they hate their life, the whole thing, and they're there for a paycheck. I guess if you want to do that for 40 years, be my guest. But I knew 3 years back, I knew long before that, that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. It's just I guess I never had the guts to go out and try it until finally it got smashed in the face and said, you don't have a job anymore, and I had a choice. Do I want to travel, live out of a suitcase, and make a lot of money, or do I want to stay put for a while and try to create something I've dreamed about for years and something I feel I'm very good at, whether it's the physical end, the talking end, whatever you want to do. So comment on that, if you would, please.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely a mindset that the really successful entrepreneurs that I know are sort of weird. You know, they never settle down. They would never be satisfied sitting in some place forever, not progressing or just slowly moving forward at the behest of their bosses or whatever. They're kind of odd ducks. It's my father-in-law, Bill Doddridge. He owns the jewelry exchange. You've probably know, seen their commercials where they're waving to the camera. It's kind of goofy. Yep. Anyway, he has built a system that's made him tons of money, and he doesn't follow any rules that I learned going to college at all. He never went to college. He went straight from, you know, high school to owning a pawn shop, which he eventually converted into the jewelry exchange and expanded all over the country, you know. And, you know, in terms of like the money aspect where you're thinking like, oh, I need to have all this stuff to be happy. Like he, you know, only in the last few years has actually spent any of it.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, okay, now he has airplanes and all that kind of stuff. But, You know, it wasn't really about the money. He's a businessman, and that, you know, being a businessman is totally different than being somebody who wants to spend a bunch of money. And that's only one case. I went to an event over the weekend where Steve Forbes was talking, and he was talking about, you know, his hospital bills and how, you know, the doctor told him to get this procedure done, and he said, "Well, how much is it?" And you know, at the time, he was kind of talking about the whole healthcare situation, but it was the guy didn't know, the technician didn't know, and so he looked it up and found it was between, you know, $1,200 and $6,000, which for somebody who's a billionaire, you think like, oh, why would you even care about that? Like, you're exactly. A billionaire, does it matter? But in terms of you know, having money and spending money are two different things, and you know, yep. In terms of being an entrepreneur and a business owner. You know, it's always about, you know, making money, but at the end of the day, it's about the business. You know, what's your system and what does the business do that makes the money? It's not about spending. You know, spending's the last thing that, you know, like you were talking about the cabin in Montana. I know another relative of mine bought that big cabin in Montana, and it's this 5,000 square foot mansion, and they have this underground shooting range, and it's super awesome. And they're just retiring in their 60s after having a successful business for, you know, 40 years. And now they're doing that. So in terms of, you know, getting into, you know, starting your business, especially in fitness, and thinking that you're going to be some, you know, billionaire in short order is unrealistic, and you know, it's probably not going to happen if you have that kind of mindset. You know, it's more about your mission and about what you're trying to share and who you're trying to help than it is about trying to make, you know, $1 million or $1 billion forever.
Well, I agree, because you know that you're here. You know, you want to bring solutions to people. You want to help them out with their problems and things of that nature. But as I've heard a million times, I've heard a lot of people say who became extremely successful, they were never worried. Well, look, everybody's got, you know, you got to pay the bills. Let's face it, that's a given every month. But they went in there with the idea of this is what we're going to do. And it's, you know, when you hear them talk later on, a few years later down the road, suddenly the money came in. It was like, and it was coming from everywhere, and they just couldn't figure how it happened. And that's kind of how I approach everything. It's like, got to get a really good system here where we are at least making some so we can put back into the business and the products and the show. And obviously, make a living, at least be able to pay the mortgage and anything else that requires, you know, your input every month. So that's very important. Fitness industry, though, as far as, you know, being you've got so much experience in this, let me put it this way. In this industry, it's a very fickle industry. We know there's an awful lot of charlatans out there, which I think really give this business a black eye. Obviously, when you're putting together programs that center around kettlebell, sandbags, and bodyweight training, that is all functional training. We do a ton of that here, especially with the younger kids, because I'm a big believer in stones. I think sandbags and stones alone can create whatever you want to create. Obviously, I love barbells, but I have found one thing that I wish I knew, you know, when I was 10 years old when I started. I wish I knew about picking an object up out in front of you, bear hugging it, and walking with it, because I feel that is by far one of the best movements you can ever do. I think not only that strength and endurance strength you're building there, you're learning how to weather anything. I mean, here in New York, you know, we get all four seasons. We're out in every season. It doesn't matter, you know, whether we're wearing cleats to walk through ice and snow, et cetera, et cetera. Now, most pro, you know, especially with social media, you know, I don't know if I said it to you the other day, but, you know, you're going to see a lot of one-trick ponies out there where they're only going to show what they're real good at. So, like, I'm scratching my head and saying, well, what else are they doing, and are they as good at that? And we've talked to different people. I was talking when Mike was on this morning. you know, we talked about how many people will film when they fail. I mean, we do it here all the time. You know, we don't pick everything up. We don't put everything overhead. Sometimes we're dumping stuff behind our head. Sandbags are dropping because you're exhausted, et cetera, et cetera. I feel that I owe anybody that wants to put a dollar into me or the companies here the truth. And I know some people say, well, that doesn't bode well for you. I think it bodes to what your authenticity is. And I think that's one thing we've got on this show over anybody. I feel that I'm one of the most authentic people you'll ever meet. And I say that with no hesitation at all, because I've got this feedback from a number of listeners where they'll say to me, when you're doing this show, I feel like we're sitting in your living room with you talking. That's what I've always wanted to accomplish, because I don't come on here and talk down to anyone. I put my pants leg on one at a time, just like everybody else. Maybe I've done a few more things. Maybe I know a few more things, but I've always been of the mindset is this: everybody has something to offer. Everybody. I don't care, as I used to always say, I don't care if you lift a 100-pound stone or a 400-pound stone. What you think or your questions are just as pertinent as anybody else. So my concept of fitness, I think, is a lot different from a lot of people. I like, you know, I want to work with, you know, I work with a lot of kids at times. I work with a lot of older people. That's a great thing to do, but my main thing here is to take this show and push it all over the world, because I can write books. I probably got enough here to write a book. It's scattered all over the place. I've got programs that we have to put in, but right now the financial end is not there to do it the way I want to do it, so I will not put out a half-assed product. But this show can do everything I want to do as far as a book or something that might be equipment-wise. Maybe I can't introduce it physically out into the market, but I can describe it and what it does. And that helps people immensely, especially the younger kids. I mean, whether they come from a good home, maybe a broken home, whatever, we want to be able to give hope and strength to a lot of people out there that have thrown their hands up in the air, either had a bad trainer, were injured by a trainer because they didn't understand how to train the person, or just flat out gave up because they weren't seeing results. So that's been my mission. I feel I owe that because of so many good things that have happened to me. I feel an obligation to the people that listen to this show and anybody else there that will discover us, because, and I'll send this right back to you in 1 second, Mark. I've had people now contacting me that don't even lift weights, that walk, that say they'll put my show on because it inspires the hell out of them when they walk. So give me your feedback on any of that stuff. I'd appreciate it if you would, please.
Sure. I mean, you know, talking about authentic people, it's, you know, that's my favorite type of person, because, you know, you can be as fake as you want and try to shape yourself or your offering into what you think people want. And it might work, you know, sometimes, but, you know, over the long run, I think people are more intuitive than that, or are going to start realizing that you're a phony. And if you don't, but, you know, the other side you got to think of in business is your customers, and there's customers out there that don't care how fake it is, you know?
Yeah.
If you look at people who read all the big fitness magazines, you know, people pick that up, they'll see in the grocery store, and they'll say, hey, you know, this 4 weeks to a 6-pack program is totally going to work. I'm going to do this. And the guy in the magazine looks awesome. You know, he must do it. So I'm going to do it and it's going to work. And so, you know, obviously half the guys in the magazines are on steroids and work out for 8 hours a day and have, you know, spend $100,000 a year on steroids and supplements and then have perfect diets. And it's completely unrealistic in terms of, you know, the programs they're pitching, where they probably didn't even write them, you know, in most cases.
Yeah. No.
But, you know, your customer who doesn't know anything about fitness, has never trained properly, has never worked with somebody who knows how to train, is going to think that that's going to work. And, you know, sadly, that's probably 99% of the population. You know,
you're right.
Yeah, because you say, like, you know, talk to anybody and say, how do you get in shape? And they'll say, well, first I'd start running, you know, 10 miles a day or something.
But maybe you can't run, you know what I mean, Mark? Maybe you got bad, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but when you're done, I'll interject, because that makes me laugh. I've heard that too, and it's like, do you even know? What if you're talking to some overweight person, you're going to tell them to run?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
You look at the things like, Biggest Loser, and you look at the stuff that those people do, and you're like, you should be in jail. That is completely irresponsible. You're making the industry look bad, and you're convincing an entire nation of people, millions of people watching the show, that you get in shape by doing this. And it's unsafe, and it's wrong, period. But they're making lots of money, so there's a big disparity between the people who have the good information, people like you, people that nobody even knows about, and the people who get the business or get the money or get the traffic and exposure and all that kind of stuff. So it's that's where the frustration of the industry comes from, is the fact that the good information, the good people don't really, get the exposure that they really should be getting. Like you talk about the weighted carries, which is a fantastic method of overall functional strength and development. Dan John talks about it all the time. Most people don't even know what it is,
Nope.
And the only thing that gets it out there is things like CrossFit, where you have, they're doing it in CrossFit, so it must be a thing. And then they go and try to lift the heaviest stone possible and do a race or something.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh my God, I'm glad people are seeing the method, but now they think that that's what you do with it. And it's totally wrong. But, that's where the frustration. So that's what I try to do. My objective is to take people like you, where it's like, okay, weighted stone carries that nobody knows about, or nobody knows that you do, and how do you get people to understand that that's what you do, and they should be referring to you as the expert and not, random warehouse gym down the street.
Well, it's interesting too, is I have a method we've put out there where John McKean, I don't know if you ever heard him. He was a writer for Hard Gainer. He's an all-around – he's awesome. He's like 65. He's been a good friend of mine for quite a while now, and I discovered him years ago. And through the show and through people, I was able to contact him, and we're doing some stuff right now where just to give you a short – I'll hit on 2 points. Number one, when I whacked my shoulder around last year and – it's pretty good now, but I didn't like if I'd put my arm behind me to do a squat, you'd feel that tightness. And this was the arm where I tore the bicep in Iceland in 8. It's fixed, but at times it feels a little funny to me once in a while. So I don't push on it. So I was telling John this, and he goes, well, here's a great movement that I did years ago. And he's a big power rack guy like me, and he's not a big guy. He's probably 170 pounds at maybe 5'9", but he is still he's USA all-around lifter. I mean, just brutal, man, and he's the nicest guy you ever meet. So he says, why don't you start doing a dead stop? Now, dead stop by this, I don't know. I'm sure you're probably familiar with it. I do no rebounds with any of my lifts other than if I'm pulling off the ground. That would be the only thing different. Squat, press, everything's dead stop off the bars, which is highly most people wouldn't have a clue to what it is unless you're into this type of mentality, but it will deliver like nothing you've ever seen before. So I said, okay, tell me what I got to do. He said, start, make sure you got your rod set where your parallel is. You want to use an older bar because you don't want to be hurting the knurling, but you want it against the back post of the power rack, and you want to get as close to it as you can, and you're going to take your triceps and push them through your thighs. So there is no arms or hands holding the bar. Now, for anybody that doesn't know what that is, when you go to stand up and you can't go all the way up or it'll fully roll off your traps, is this. You got to have coordination like you can't believe. Well, the first few times, obviously, the bar's falling off one side, taking the skin off my traps, the whole thing. Well, we'll fast forward it now about 2.5 months later now. Last week, I murdered it. I did a 487 dead stop, push through the thighs, stood up, and I crushed it. I was going to go for 500. I didn't because I wanted to leave a little in the tank. Now, the rear squat's dead stop when I hold it with, I use Iron Mind's Buffalo Bar. For anybody that doesn't know, that's a cambered bar. I've done 782 and a half dead stop off there. That would probably equate with a rebound. You could probably put another 100 on there. If this thing gets to the way I want it within the next six to 8 months and I get back from Iceland to go lift the stone and all that, I don't know if I could hit 1,000 with it, but the pretense would be if I can hit 5 or better with this, I would figure the squat with the hands holding the bar again, it ought to equate once I get the groove and everything. I would hope I could hit close to an 850 to 880, you know, dead stop off the rods. And to let you know how serious that is, this thing could literally break you in half if you don't know what you're doing. But that's the only point you have to worry about. It's all good with that. But that's one of the examples I wanted to give you, that we do these lifts that are different, and I can take any lift I do and bring it down to any level, which a lot of people can't do. And that's why I'm so good with stones and sandbags, because I can take and relegate all the sand to a stone, teach you all the ways to do it, how to carry it, and if it falls and hits you on the shin or the foot, you're going to probably just get a bruise, or maybe your ego is going to get a little hurt for the day. You drop a stone on your foot, you could break it or crush it or really bruise it bad. So those are the fundamentals I try to teach all the time. Well, I do teach. There's no trying here. Secondly, we do a warm-up, which I got from John and what was his name? Doc Leonard Schwartz. Anybody that knows anything about heavy hands, Leonard Schwartz was the originator, and he could prove that movements alone could oxygenate your blood like nothing else. They ran tests. It was all scientifically done, and basically this is the thesis of it. We do it's called a squat pull-up, which you would put a bar, Olympic bar, across your power rack at about chin height. You're going to grab it with your hands reversed, and you're going to go down into a squat position, pull yourself up. So it's like doing a pull-up, you know, a chin, and obviously a squat. Secondly, we do a long strength good morning. You can do it. The best way to do it is you take two bars, put them at the height you need in the power rack. Obviously, it's always good to have something I'm holding on the rod so they don't slip. And basically what you're going to do is picture a good morning without the bar on the back of your neck. That's what you're doing. And then to cap it off, I have a 95-foot driveway, so it works perfect. If you can find heavy hands, good. If you can't, you know, you can construct something or use plates, okay? And I do my favorite one, which I think has got one of the biggest bang for the buck. You do the ski movement, and by that, you move at a very brisk rate, and your arms are going one down, one over your head, one down, the other over your head. This will light you on fire like you wouldn't believe. And what it's done for me is I can come in with squats or whatever at usually about 90% of my max. Now, just think about how much better of a lifter and how much more you're going to lift and grow and get stronger, because if you want to do the old 135, 225, 315 warm-up, be my guest, but you will never toast your body up and feel so oxygenated and invigorated as something like that. So what we pass on here to people is we give you alternatives where most people can't. I mean, we lift 55-gallon drums to do hand-thigh deadlifts. I bench press those things. Now, are they odd objects and they can be awkward and you can get hurt? Yep. But you know what? You can get hurt stepping out of your bathtub, man. It does. What I'm saying is, and you said it before, Mark, you know, you got to use, with everything to me, is you got to use some ingenuity, you got to have some creativity, and you got to have persistence and tenacity like a pit bull, all right? That's just the way it is. Here, that's what we celebrate, man. We go after the things most people would not go near, all right? That's why anybody that comes here, I have a 15-year-old basketball player. He's been here for 7 months. He's put on 22 pounds already. He's over 6'1", so, I mean, he could use a lot more. But it's incredible his skill on the court. He can run up and down the court when the other kids are fading away or throwing up. This guy's still going, all right? So our methodology is a lot different. I'm almost go ass reverse for most people, but it's worked for me. Everything we do here, we do here. Like, you know, no one writes our content. No one does our training for us. What you see here is the most authentic stuff, I believe, in the market. But I'll send it back to you. I went on for a long time. But comment on those things, and especially how when you're with clients and people you see, what does this do for your end of the end of it, you know, where you got to work with someone and say, shit, man, this guy has got the pool here. What are we going to do now to unleash the sharks now to go?
Well, for me, it's really just helping people to understand everything you just talked about. Because, like I said, your average person has no idea what fitness is. They think that fitness is either jogging, like we talked about, or they think it's bodybuilding, which is you know, isometric movements, you know, and high volume and you know, strength and all that other stuff is sort of important, but it's secondary to aesthetics and all that kind of stuff. So I think. You know, while everything you say is perfect, you know, most people, it's going to go over their heads because they just don't understand it. And so I think the big thing I was always trying to come back when I was, you know, a trainer and had a gym was convincing people that, okay, you need to understand the basics first. And so with like when we were developing the level one of the Onnit certification, it was all about that. How do you make people understand the most fundamental levels of the movements, which we broke it down into the, you know, the four different basic movement types, and then you can progress from there. So, because even if you think about being able to push yourself on a lift is a skill. You know, people who don't train or have never lifted before don't understand that, you know, your body has a lot more capacity to lift than you think it does, and here's how you push it to new levels and greater heights. You know, your average person is just going to stop. So I think that's and that's why methods, you know, high intensity training methods and things like CrossFit are so popular, is because it helps people realize this fundamental level of training that they never even knew existed. So it's it's turning people into athletes, essentially. And so I think you know, my whole thing was always trying to get people to that base understanding so then they could progress and choose a method, you know, because not everybody's going to be into lifting stones, you know.
Right, right.
There's a lot of people who will just never do it, no matter how beneficial it is and how perfect your methodology is. They just don't like it. And that's for any method. So I think it's, like I said before, in terms of your goal in life is to create your own system that's going to work for you and your objectives. So, you know, and another thing is, you know, there's nothing wrong with whatever your objectives are, you know, because athletes want to be, you know, faster, more agile, more injury proof. But your average guy may just want to be, have less fat and, you know, better musculature. And
I agree.
And there's nothing wrong with either case. It's your, for your life, you know, do whatever the hell you want with it. But I think it's helping people to understand that you're, objectives and the way you train and how you progress is all tied together. Unless you get that system down, there's no way you're going to achieve any of it.
No, I agree totally, because I always say, you know, not everybody wants to be world's strongest man. Some guys want to be able to tie their shoes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we laugh at that, but that could be a big deal to somebody. Or, you know what? Maybe the guy in your neighborhood is the strongest guy and he likes that. And, he helps kids and other people in the neighborhood. That's very important. Role model, leader. It doesn't matter to me. That's why I said the same thing with the 100-pound stone lifter or the 400. It's just a general statement. But to me, everybody has a valid opinion. Now, you might not agree with it or say, oh, man, where are they coming from? But you know what? That's how you open dialogue. And most people I find now, especially in this industry, they have a tendency to dismiss people. And I think this happens a lot in the world, too. I don't dismiss people unless there's something I don't like what they say, or I just think that they're not even coming from the place they need to be, all right? But normally, as you can tell, if I'm doing a show like this, obviously I like to talk to people. So when I'm on the outside, you know, somebody will approach me and say, you lift weights? Well, I know that's obvious, and I could be a wise guy with them, but I always say yes. And a lot, 9 times out of 10, it's going to open a dialogue. And, you know, whether they come and start listening to the show or maybe they want to do something online with me or whatever, it's always an opportunity for everyone, you know, surrounded with it. So my whole thing with this whole with the whole thing with fitness or however you want to put your stamp on it is we'll do the things most people won't do. You know, we will work with you and we will get you to where you want to go, but you got to be responsible and take action. And that's something that needs to be sold, I think, to most people. It needs to be reinforced and repeated without sounding like it's a preachy thing. But I'll tell you right now, I never got upset with anybody giving me a hard time about shit because I knew, like you said before, we got a lot more in us we don't even go near. And whether it's out of fear-based or ridicule or what people think about us, which I know at times to most people is more important than getting to your destination, which I think is tragic in so many ways because why are you going to let somebody else hold you back? So the concepts I try to push through here is all that. It's like everyone has potential. Everyone has the ability to get better, and what you deem as important, you might not be important to me, but you know what? I'll respect that and help you with it. Mark, summarize anything you want and give out your information. I'll give mine, and if you'd hold on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. My goal now in life in general is trying to help small business owners figure out online marketing. So the main thing I do for people now is I start their brands online and I get them rolling with the system that I kind of boiled down from what I used to help my Med Methods succeed and get sold. So in terms of, you know, if that's what you want to do or if you have something great and you're just, you know, killing yourself because you're frustrated that people love it and why is it not making you money? That's the type of people that I love to help. So you can find out more information about me at markdegrasse.com. And people like you are the people I love to talk to because you have the passion.
Thanks.
And that's, you know, 99% of succeeding because it takes that amount of passion to get past the hurdles that you're going to face and you have to beat.
Super hungry. That's the biggest thing.
Yep.
You got anything else, Mark?
No, I think that's pretty much
okay.
It. It's a great show. You know, I think you're doing awesome work here, getting everybody, you know, all these names together and helping us all, realize what needs to be done to help the industry keep progressing.
Well, we plan on doing much more, and hopefully you and I are going to be doing some stuff together in the near future. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Athlete's Choice, that's Steven Santangelo, Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Also, too, don't forget about the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's a free ebook out on Fiorella Barbell Co. As we were just talking about, let me tell you, I know the process can be very daunting to people, but you know something, go out and read it. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about it. And commit to something you want to do. Create a small goal. Fulfill the goal. Create another small one. And, you know, all these little steps, like when I went to Iceland twice, it's like this, all these small steps to lifting these stones and getting better and stronger and bigger, they equate to that end result, which is to lift that thing 50 meters and you put your hands up in the air and know before you leave the earth, I did something that I really wanted to do. Maybe not everybody wants to do it, but I'll tell you what, I don't care who it is. It's like Rocky, any of them. Everybody always admires the underdog. You go there, you're an underdog, believe me. That's something that's survived for hundreds of years, so think about that. Also, too, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success, and the Winner's Circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. Go out and check those out. If you like what we do here on the show, you got result producers there. You just got to go out and make up your mind to it. Also, too, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That's what we've gotten from everybody, and I appreciate it. We're going to get Mark back on here. I'll convince him for sure. If there's a show you'd like Mark and I to do in the future, you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them what we talked about here, a little encouragement. It doesn't take a lot. You never know who you're influencing and the next great person you could be really putting out there. So think about that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile, because that might be all they get that day. If you're going to go out and lift today, lift it, bend it, push it, press it, pull it, squat it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we are domination. We don't follow the path. We clear cut our own. And as I say, after everything I write now, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Learn to dominate everything you do. Obliterate those goals and set up new ones. And if you have one of those nights we all have where you maybe fall a little bit short, put the biggest dent in it, no matter what it is, because then it knows you're coming back. And when you come back, you will succeed. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to the show since day one and who's a regular guest, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. That's the manliness in everything here. And I thank Russell for that, and we will say that for the next 30 years. Mark, thanks for being on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. It's great.
Thank you. Just hang on. So before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 of your friends, because we're coming for you anyways. Have a great week, everybody. From Mark DeGrasse, this is Eric Fiorello. We will talk to you soon. I got Will Dinwiddie on in about 15 minutes, and the rest of the week is hammered out, too. So we're going to have some killer shows. I just put up the Bud Jeffries show, Bulldozers and Grizzlies, and wait till you hear that. So have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.